Let us pray. Almighty God, grant that the words we hear in our outward ears, we may so take into our hearts and lives, and that your purposes will be advanced and your name honored. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The text from 1 Corinthians 15:45. The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The last 2,000 years or so, relationships between Jewish believers and Christian believers has been, at best, uneven. And sometimes, terrible. Christianity emerged out of the Jewish faith environment. And in the first century, Jews would sometimes persecute the disciples of Jesus of Nazareth. But it didn't take long for the persecution to be reversed. For although the debt that we owe to the early Christian writers, what those church fathers wrote about their Jewish forebearers can be disturbing to read. One of the kinder examples is from Aristides. He was an apologist, a teacher of Christianity early in the second century. And he wrote this: "The Jews proved stubborn and ungrateful," he wrote. "When the Son of Man was pleased to come on earth, they received him with wanton violence and they perished through their own transgression." We can't help reading this and a number of other examples to see how these Christian leaders were pouring out so much hate. The hate from our spiritual forebears from long ago who proclaimed to follow Jesus, himself a Jewish rabbi. He who insisted that our relationships with one another are to be marked with radical love. Love for everyone. Now, in fairness, anti-Semitic thoughts and writings toward Jewish people have diminished in the church over the centuries. Some of us might be interested to read that the prayer for the Jews in the Old Common Prayer Book was updated not that long ago. The Lord Jesus is still upheld as the Christ, but the tone of that prayer is far more gracious and emphasizes our common humanity in Abraham. So it's not easy for us to admit, but there's been this pervasive anti-Jewish language by many Christians over the years. And that's had an effect on how we read the Bible, particularly how we read the Old Testament. For centuries, many Christians have said the whole Bible points us to Jesus Christ. And they say, when Jewish people read the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, they're really misunderstanding the entire text because they don't see Jesus in it. But understandably, the Jewish believers object strongly to this view. What do you mean we fundamentally misunderstand the text? It's our sacred literature. It's nourished us for thousands of years. What arrogance. And they have a point. We can acknowledge that the Hebrew Scriptures have been life-giving to Jewish believers, including those times when they've been persecuted by Christians. Somewhat in reaction to this, some Christians try to avoid the Old Testament altogether. It's just a bunch of wars, they say. It's not about the God of love. But surely that approach is equally unfruitful to simply dismiss that testament. Jesus Christ himself understood the Hebrew Scriptures to be inspired by God and authoritative for life, for himself, for his people. To ignore or to dismiss the Old Testament is about as bad as those who spew poison against the Jewish believers. Well, I have much to be grateful for from the parish where I grew up. I can't remember any teaching about our relationship with the Jews or the Old Testament. Not one example. The role of the Jewish nation in God's covenant relationship was never mentioned. Never that I can recall. I propose a gracious middle way. We can affirm that the Hebrew Scriptures are nurturing to Jewish believers, and we can affirm that the Old Testament points ahead toward Jesus Christ. And in some sense, God's work in Jesus Christ is already present in the Old Testament. Here's an example. Remember when God's people were left to Egypt and they were wandering around in the wilderness? And they were miserable, weren't they? And they begin complaining against Moses because they're hungry and thirsty. They begin complaining. And incidentally, we need to guard against complaining, don't we? And Moses gets annoyed with God, and Moses starts getting annoyed with the people. And Moses raps a nearby rock sharply with his staff. Then to everyone's amazement, water gushes out, and the people's thirst is quenched. Exodus 17:6. So that story is significant about God's provision, even in the wilderness of our lives, is there and will see us through. But the early Christians added another layer. In a sense, the rock itself is Jesus Christ, who nourishes us in profound ways. In 1 Corinthians 10:4, Paul writes, "For the Jewish people drank from the same supernatural rock, and the rock," he writes, "the rock was Christ." So we can be gracious to other points of view while insisting on the centrality of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This play between the Old and the New Testaments shows up in today's second reading from 1 Corinthians 15. In chapter 15, St. Paul is explaining to the Christians in Corinth about the resurrection. And as part of this, Paul contrasts Adam and Jesus Christ. Adam, we recall, is identified as the first man of the Old Testament. And Adam and Eve together ate the forbidden fruit, and they were banished from intimacy with God. In a very real sense, we are all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. And Paul explains that first comes natural life, and then comes spiritual life. Or to use Jesus' metaphor, we are all born, but then we are born anew as we begin our spiritual walks with Christ Jesus. And Paul sometimes calls Jesus Last Adam, or the new Adam. He writes this in 1 Corinthians 15. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is imperishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, is raised in glory. It is sown a physical body, it is raised, it is raised a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that is Jesus Christ, became a life-giving spirit. The first man was of the earth, a man of dust. Remember, the Genesis proposes that Adam was created from the dust. First man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man, again he's talking about Christ, is from heaven. As was the man of the dust, so are those who are of the dust. As the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. So Paul is contrasting the Old and the New Testaments between Adam, who represents physical life, and Christ, who represents spiritual life. We can be grateful for life. How much more can we be grateful for our new lives in Christ? Now, keeping in mind the dangers of the human heart, where so many of those in the church have condemned our Jewish forebears, let's consider today's gospel reading, where the way of the Lord Jesus is the way of radical love. But I say to you, that listen, Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. It's not easy to love our enemies. But for Christians, love is a choice, an exercise of the will. We're called to love everyone, even those we might not find it so easy to love, without reservation. And then a second example which the Lord uses in today's reading is that we're called together to radical generosity. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. We're called to radical generosity, not to hoard, to be selfish. And third, the Lord teaches that we are not to judge, nor to be judgmental. God is the judge, not us. Do not judge, he says, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken over, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. We live in a season in which some Christians seem inclined to judge hastily. We need to stand up for what we believe to be faithful to Christ, but our lives ought to be marked with generosity, humility, and radical love. May we appreciate the New and Old Testaments and all they reveal. May we appreciate the traditions of the church while we assess the church against the standards of the gospel. And may you and I shine with the love of Christ, to live for him, to him to whom belongs all honor and all glory, world without end. Amen.